Hallelujah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Heavenly Father,
as you approach thy word now, Lord, we ask for your grace. Break down thy word further to us, Lord, in the hour now that we live, seeing the day of Christ's return is fast approaching, Lord, that your word will strengthen us, Father, in this hour. When there is the squeeze coming from the world out there, all those four winds, O Lord, are blowing. And soon, Lord, when thou ask the angels to release it, then, Father, we know this world will go into that great chaos. But before it does, O Lord, we know our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ will return to take his bride away. We are looking forward to that day. So let our life, Father, be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be worthy of the word of God. Be worthy, O Lord, because of what you have shown us concerning your plan and the purpose, Lord, for this end time church, Lord. For what you have revealed in thy word concerning this very last day, and how that you want a people to be totally separate from the things of the world and from the traditions and from that Babylonian harlot system, O Lord. And you call us, O Lord, to keep away from that abomination and touch not her unclean things, O Lord. Because, Lord, otherwise you won't receive us. So, Father, we ask for your grace, even as you approach thy word, that you bless it, O Lord, for our spiritual health sake, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's just continue where we left off. Let's quickly, briefly, I want to close up with the Feast of Pentecost. Now, I want you to, again, take the chart into your mind concerning the first four feasts. Okay, and no matter how you look at it, you remember what I told you about the calendar? All right, just look at the calendar. And I want you to notice something. And it must stay in your mind, okay? All right, if you look at the calendar, this 6 months on the top and the 6 months in below here. Now, as I said, that the first 6 months here deals with Israel concerning their spiritual life. The second 6 months deal with them as civic, you know, as civic government, the political side of it, all right, dealing with the people in the natural. But here, God is dealing them with in the spiritual. So, if you look at the chart, you will know that we have the first four feasts, the first three feasts in this month, and then the last feast, Pentecost, which is the fourth feast, in the third month. Right? And then that left three feasts. Those three feasts will only start, okay, at the transition period when the church is taken up and the two prophets comes in. And it began on the seventh month of of the Jewish calendar. Alright? Which is Tishri. Okay? So let us go to that chart and look at this feasts again. Alright, look at the first four feasts. The first four feasts. What do you see in the first four feasts? It's God revealing to them in this feast concerning their life, spiritual life. Concerning that He, God Himself, will send a Messiah to them, right? And the feast shows about the Paschal and the Lamb of God, the Messiah, how he died, and how that the importance of keeping the feast of the unleavened bread, which we know to be the Word of God. You understand that? And the first fruit, when they entered the land, that God told them to wave that first sheaf. Because out of that land, because you always understand the land is promised land of God. Because God promised them that promised land, to give to them that land. Okay, and they will inherit it. And we know it reflects to us as a church that we have the promised word of God and we will inherit this word of life. Okay, so it's a spiritual side of Israel. Okay, and you all have to deal with the Messiah dying for them, telling them to keep the feast of an unleavened bread, which symbolizes their spiritual life of eating the Word of God. Okay? And we know the first fruit represents just kind of like first resurrection until Pentecost. And Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit comes out, which is the Spirit of Christ. So these four things all deal spiritually. But the last three pieces is different. Okay, when we come to that, you understand. So it separates the first 6 months from the second 6 months, or the half of the year of the calendar. You understand? So it's broken into two periods. Now we want to look at, continue to quickly run a little on Pentecost. We dealt with Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost, last Sunday. Now, remember that Jesus Christ died as on the Passover, as a Passover lamb. He was in the tomb as the Sabbath. Okay? He slept in the tomb. Because the evening time came, will become the Sabbath. Remember that? 14 was the Passover day. And they took it, the Passover lamb, as after 6 p.m., which will also begin the Sabbath day. Okay, what will be, of course, pointing to the 15th. And so Christ already died on the 14th, body taken down there in the tomb. So he was in the tomb on the Sabbath, so he rest, so to speak. So when we die with Christ, we rest with him. So if you don't die with Christ, you don't rest with him. You're still struggling. You see. So we have to die with Christ. That's why we're going to water baptism, signify that we are dying with Christ. Dying to put the old man to sleep. So when we rise up, it becomes a new creation. Alright? So that's the 15th. On the 16th, it was the day that Christ resurrected. And it's the feast of the first fruit that was waved before the Lord. Okay? And if he resurrected, he was the firstborn among men in Brenner. The first resurrection from among the dead. Okay, of the ecclesias, the church. So the rest will also follow. Okay, you understand that? We will all also come, because we come from the same field, we'll also be resurrected. Now, 49 days. It means 7 times 7, 7 Sabbath will be complete. Count from the day after that, count the day after the Sabbath, which is the 6th, 7th, or the 16th, the feast of the first fruit. Count 7 days, first Sabbath. Count another 7 days, another Sabbath. So you count all together 7 Sabbaths. There's 49 days. Now, the day after 49 is the 50th day. And God say it will also be a Sabbath to you, a holy convocation. And that's the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is a Greek word. It comes from the Greek word Pentecostal, means the 50th. It is on that day. After 7 Sabbaths has completed, cometh the 8th Sabbath. Because if you have 49, it's 7 Sabbath. Immediately after the 7th Sabbath, the day following is also a Sabbath, and it's a 50th day, and that's the day when Christ comes back in spirit form to identify with his people that believe in him. So what day is that? What is so special about this Feast of Pentecost? Feast of Pentecost is a day of joy. It's a day of thanksgiving. Do you understand that? You understand? That's why God told them to take 2 10-deal of fine flour mixed with leaven. Mix with leaven and then bake it. And the priest will wave it before the Lord as a thanksgiving of joy. Oh, that I am saved. You understand? You understand what I'm saying? Yes. It's waved before the Lord. Because the fine flour came from the same field where the first fruit will harvest. And it is this fine flour from this first harvest, the first fruit, that will grind into fine flour, or ground. You call ground with fine flour. Okay, and then mix with leaven to signify that we are sinners, okay, and mixed with this fire flower, which is from the same field. So he's way before the Lord, so it's great joy and thanksgiving to God. So I want you to remember that. Okay? Now, let us quickly go on and look at one verse here in Leviticus chapter 2, verse 11. I hope you know why I want you to really bring a Bible to church. You know why I want you to use the Bible? Because the Bible, you know, they call it, it's called Holy Scripture. Holy Scripture means it's a holy writing. Now, e-sword, which you bring to church, or if you have your electronic Bible, it doesn't serve a good purpose. Because when you have a Bible like this in book form, you can write and put notes. In your e-book, in your e-Bible, you cannot put any notes. Huh? You understand me? So when you do it, write it, it's so important, because you know people no longer read books today. People are reading from the internet, all this electronic. Do you understand? Which I don't think serve any good purpose on them. So it's preferably that I suggest that this is why it's good to have a Bible like this. Write down all your notes, so that if you really study your Bible, over time, your Bible is going to be a mess. And you know, the more messy your Bible is, the interesting you get. Because every time you go back and look for something, you saw your notes there, then you remember what you have learned. Do you understand? That is the thing I want. Don't keep your Bible so clean. Huh? If your Bible is so clean, every time you polish it, it shows that you have a problem. You're not reading it, you're polishing it. Okay, you're only stripping the dirt away, you're not reading it. Okay, read it, you know, and just write whatever it is. I encourage you to do that, really. Okay? So, if you look into Leviticus chapter 2, and verse 11, it says here, no meat offering, I already told you, is to be called meal offering. Okay, meat is not meat. Huh? No meal offering which you shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven, nor any honey, in any offering of the Lord made by fire. So now there are two things here. They are not allowed to be put on the sacrifice, on the altar of sacrifice, to be burned by fire. You cannot offer that to God. That is leavening, and the second is honey. Why honey? Why honey even not allowed? You know, honey is also yeast. If you left honey for long, you know, and not in a safe environment, close up tight, it exposes. After a few days, it starts to ferment. Honey actually is ferment. It will ferment if you do not. Well, in the commercial honey that you buy, many of them, they put preservative. If you have a natural honey, you leave it on in the bottle and you don't close it up, or even if you close it, open it, and then close it on and keep it for a long time, you find that there is the yeast being formed. Okay, now, honey is not allowed also to be offered to God. One of the things is that people like that, we know what honey is, you know, people sweeten you with, you know, that kind of thing. So, there might be people in the sense of honey is used as the symbol that where, Lord, you know, I love you. You know, you sit down to the Lord, you sit honey, you know, you understand that. And so, the honey and leaven are not to be put on the altar of sacrifice. So I want you to know that, because when we read Leviticus chapter 23, we have in verse 10, speak unto the children of Israel and said unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you, you shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest unto the priest. And you shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. That is on the 16th of Nisan. Okay? And you shall offer that day, when you wave the sheaf, a he lamb without blemish of the first year, for the burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meal offering thereof shall be 2 tenth deal of fine flour mingled with oil, not with lemon. Not with leaven. Okay, so you must remember this. Here is a great contrast. On the first day, or the day after the Sabbath, is the day that Christ resurrected. And in that resurrection, God wants the children of Israel. Of course, this feast represents all that. He wants the children of Israel to wear it before the Lord. Now, the thing is, one thing we know that they never celebrate this when they are out there in the wilderness. Remember? So when you come, God told them, when you come into the land that I give you, when you get in, you eat nothing of the land. Nothing shall you touch it, nothing shall you eat. The first thing you do, you harvest the first crop. Okay? Take one of the sheep and wave it before me. You get it? So that represents they are crossing from Jordan, the old life, into the new. Something that God gave them, into the land of promise. You come into the land, now you wave them before me. And in that waving, of course, they have this third-time meal of fine flour mingled with oil. We represent the anointing. Okay? And that wave loaf itself represents Christ Jesus. For he was the anointed Messiah. The anointed one of Israel. Okay? Now, let's continue with it. It says, for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So this is made by fire and burned unto for God. For the sweet savour, and the drink offering shall be of wine, and the fourth part of the hint. Now, the drink offering, as I said, of wine is poured on the altar. Okay? As an offering to the Lord. Go on right now. And you shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ear, until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation in all your dwelling. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. The morrow after the Sabbath is the 16th of Nisan. Okay? Alright. So don't forget the day when Christ died. Christ died on the 14th of Nisan. According to the feast that God gave them. If you read this chapter, you will know. So 14 is the day when the Passover started. 15 is the Sabbath. 16 is the first fruit. So the morrow after the Sabbath, the 15th, is 16. Come from there. As it come from there, from the day that you brought up the sheep of the wave offering, seven Sabbath shall be complete. Seven Sabbath will be 7 times 7, 49. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days. Of course, it's your 50th day, right? Alright. And you shall offer a new meal offering unto the Lord. So this one is completely new now. Now, as I said, the first prophets deal with us, deal with the spiritual life of Israel. If they were able to see, they would know who the Messiah is, actually, but didn't. So they didn't recognize the Messiah, so, you know, if we were the one that was privileged enough to receive it after God blinded their eyes. But if they were to see who the Messiah was, then they will recognize Jesus Christ the one. Okay? So now it says here that you shall offer a new meal offering unto the Lord. So it's something new now. Okay, what does it say here? You shall bring out of your habitation two wave loaves of 10 deal. They shall be fine flour and they shall be baked with leaven. And they are the first fruit unto the Lord. Remember again, they are the first fruit unto the Lord. For those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and make themselves ready, we become the first fruit unto the Lord. Do you understand? From the same field. Because the sheaf of wave offering was from the field. And then the grain is ground into fine flour to be mixed with this leaven. Right? But in the first fruit, it was mingled with oil. But here it's mixed with leaven. So as I said, once you have leaven in the dough, and then you cannot separate them. Once you put leaven into it, you can never separate it. Do you understand? So this, it says here over in verse 17, you shall bring out the habitation to wave loaves. That means they are to be waved before the Lord. And they are baked. But you don't put this on the fire, on the altar of sacrifice. You don't burn it by fire. They are baked. So this is the thing about it. So when we look at this, we realize that every one of us, we are also, well, as the Bible says, you are trees planted by the rivers of living waters, right? You are trees. Jesus is the tree of life, so you are tree of life. If Jesus Christ is bread, what are we? We are part of the bread. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the problem here, right, the difference now is that we are not part of that bread that Christ is. That's why you are symbolized. Christ was symbolized by the dough or the flour mixed with oil. But for us, it is fine flour mixed with leaven to show us that we are sinners that are saved by grace. But the thing is that the fine flour is from the same field. That's why the Bible said we are to be waved as the first fruit unto the Lord. Do you understand? So even though right now the problem here is a question was asked and discussed recently with the brothers overseas. Even though we are saved by grace, and I pray that you have the Holy Spirit. So the thing is, why then are people who have the Holy Spirit still commit sin? Time and time again. Perhaps sometimes the same old sin over and over again. How could it be? You see, that is what the Lord symbolizes. Everybody born into this world, we are all born sinners. But God has predestined us before the foundation of the world that He would take us. Right? Every one of us are born with leaven. It means sin in us. Correct? You understand what I'm talking? You see. But there is this loaf that has five flowers taken from the same field that the sheep was taken and weighed before the Lord. So they are predestinated. You get it? Everybody born to the world sinner. But you see, God looked down and God predestined us. So now, when you are leavened in the dough, you can never separate, as I said this before, you can never separate the leaven from the dough. How can you do it? You can't. You take a dough that is not leaven, and you take a dough that is leaven, and then you bake them in as bread. How do they look like? Dough without leaven does not pop out, right? Those who leaven pop them. So you can tell the difference. You see? So what is the Bible? What is all this that God is showing? What is it telling us? First of all, remember this is baked in the fire, but not burned on the altar. You're baked in the fire. Of course, in those days they don't have electric oven. You understand what I'm saying? You're baked in the fire. So we are going through the process of a fiery trial. But what does a fire do to the bread? To the dough. When you are being baked, the leavening is arrested. You understand? It means to say that it is loosened and then it is restrained. It does not completely remove from the bread. So now, if you are a born again child of God, now, we are not overnight perfect. Even now, how many years you have been Christian, you are not perfect. You are going on to perfection. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Maybe you can say, but again, I'm about 50% perfect. So, well, are you going to stop there? So if you are 50% perfect, that means you are happy.
You know what is a half bake? Even you know, those people of you bake, you also know. You put something in there with lemon, you come out, it's half baked. How does it taste like? It tastes bad. If it is half baked, the yeast inside, the lemon inside there is still alive. And you lift the bread and see what happens. It starts fermenting. So God does not want a half baked Christian. Are you still being baked? Yeah, we are still being baked. Because you see, our pilgrimage is not over yet. As God put Abraham to a fiery trial, remember what the Bible talks about? Abraham went through a fiery trial. Huh? You see, he continued on his journey no matter what mistake he made, how he treated his wife Sarah about lying to the Abimelech and Pharaoh. You know. And what about Jacob? A conniving, supplanting individual. And his life was always a mess, running away from God. Until God said, go back to Bethel. So he went back to Bethel. Then what happened? Then he wrestled with the angel. And he finally warned, your name shall no longer be called Jacob. It shall be called Israel. And then he built an altar to the Lord. And he poured his drink offering. It was a joy to him to realize that now he's released from all the pain. Because of what he was doing, he was so afraid about his Laban. And he was afraid of Esau. You understand? So Jacob was a man that happened, but he went through life and he went to God. God is still dealing with us. God is not true with us. He's still dealing with us. If he has to put you back into the fire, beg you again over again, of course he's not going to be overbake you anyway. You know, become what? Chowta. What become burnt? Burnt bread. No, he's not going to burnt you. Is he? But he's going to beg you. He's going to chastise you until you come to the place of affection. Do you understand that? Okay? So now, so the other thing is that let's go to First Corinthians 5. Okay? First Corinthians chapter 5, here we have, we read from verse 6. Your glory is not good. Know you know that a little leaven whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. As you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now, this is kind of strange language. He said, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. What is old leaven? I mean, leaven is leaven. What is new leaven? What is old leaven? So, when you talk about the old leaven, it's talking about your old character. Your character that you are before you become a Christian. You got it? So you are the old life. You have old life. Before I'm a Christian, I was a Christian. I have all this sinning habit. Bad habit. Maybe I'm obnoxious. You know, I fight for with people, quarrel with people, I like to fight, I get all into sin, all kinds of things. That's the old lemon. That's what Paul is talking about. He says, Patch that thing out, because that you may be a new lump. So that you may be a new lump. Not that you will be a new lump. That you may be a new lump. So that God expects you to be, that when you are a Christian, act like a Christian. You used to scold people just for any little thing. Put that away. Patch it away. If you easily get angry, patch that away. Your malice or your evil behavior, whatever that you were before, push those things away. Then you become a new one, because he says that you are as we are unleavened. Because why? Of the baking. The begging kills, is to get rid of that leaven to make you into a new lump. So that you no longer have leaven inside there. But the question is, are we willing to be baked? Even as a Christian, we all have choices. Is that right? You see, the Bible said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit that leads us, guides us. The Holy Spirit, remember this, is not a prison guard. You understand? When the Holy Spirit came down upon the people on the day of Pentecost, or when you receive the Holy Ghost baptism, the Holy Spirit is not your prison guard. You are not in prison where He doesn't let you move about. He doesn't have a truncheon in His hand where He knocks you on the head every time. Like you see perhaps in some movie where this guy will start beating up the prisoner, you know. No, He doesn't. It's whether you yield to the Master's hand. Do you understand that? You are, what the Bible says, you are free. Free indeed. You are set free. You have the freedom. But your freedom is not in doing any sins in the world. Not to go back to the old nature. So purge out the old leaven that He may be a new lamb as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. It is because of that Passover sacrifice that we can partake of the unleavened bread. That we are part of the same first fruit of the field. Remember what we said last Sunday? The one who sanctified and the one who is sanctified is of the same field. You understand that? Yes. See? And he continued, therefore let us keep the feast. Not with old leaven. Don't come to church with the same old nature that you were before. We come here to keep the feast of eating the Word of God, or even in the communion, we come together. You see? Suppose that when you come together, examine yourself. Carry one for another. Have love one for another. Examine yourself. Not examine others. It's none of your business. It's God that examines the person. Okay? Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the sincere bread, with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So now, suppose that, you know, when you come to this feast, put all those malice and wickedness away. When you approach it with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, there are two sides to a coin. One side, the other side. This, when you approach and eat of this unleavened bread, there's one side that's sincerity, the other side that is truth. That's what Paul talks about, speaking the truth in love. Truth is all, when you talk about truth, it's all about Christ. Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. So when we really approach in the partaking of the Word of God, in fellowship and all of that, then let be truth. Speak the truth in love. And that must be the sincerity. That's what I say, you know, you say, oh, you have the truth and all this. I'm speaking the truth to you, you know, and then in you there's no sincerity. Who are you lying to? You understand? You have to keep that together. Alright. Leviticus 23 and verse 13, where we are just now. Just look at it again. Verse 13. The new meal and the meal offering thereof shall be 2 tenths deal of fine flour mingled with oil. As I said, this it taught the perfect man, Jesus Christ. Okay? Right. And then we have in Romans chapter 6, verse 6 now, where we talk about the day of Pentecost, when a new meal offering now is offered. Because the Holy Spirit now
has come back after he has been waved before the Lord. He came back on the day of Pentecost to take loaf that are leavened, but yet the fire flower is from the same field, the first fruit. You understand? Okay? Now, Passover is over. You understand Passover is over? You understand that, right? Passover is already completely done once and for all by Christ. But the Jew of God, they do not understand the continuing. So once a feast is fulfilled by God completely, you don't go back to it and carrying it out. But the Jew are still doing it as a ritual. The feast of unleavened bread, it's over. But it has been carried to the church in what form? It's no longer in the ritual that they do. It's in the communion and the word. You understand that? Okay? The feast of first fruit, it's over. Christ already resurrected. Of course, to some people in some other religion who don't believe in Christ down the cross, it's a different story that they tell. You see? So Christ has resurrected. And we know that his resurrection tells us that he's going to come back because he ascended to heaven. Then come with the fourth one, Pentecost. Pentecost came back, and Pentecost touched the church. You got it? And we are still in Pentecost. Because the church is not over yet. You understand? That's why we are begged. We are rejoicing before the Lord that he has come into our life. See? Okay, Romans 6 and verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve sin. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, what did he carry with him? What did he carry with him? The cross? Of course, I know it's the cross. But why the cross? Whose cross is that? Huh? Whose cross was he carrying? He said, well, Christ carrying our cross, but not quite right. Christ was carrying his cross because it is his burden that was put on him to die for you and for me. That's why he said, carry your cross and follow me. So he's not carrying your cross. He's carrying his cross. People say Christ is carrying our cross. No, he carried his cross. The cross of your sin, where he had the nail on the cross, be lifted up. Nailed it there. And be lifted up before the Lord. That he has taken the sins upon himself. You understand? So, if as here it says, Christ is crucified. So we should have our sins crucified with Christ right there on the cross. Okay? And then Ephesians 4, 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. That he put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. See, the old man, the former life, the word conversation means your way of life. It's corrupt. So if it is corrupt, you want to put it away. Colossians. The reason why I wanted to have the Bible is that you may turn to it. Enjoy turning pages. A lot of people don't like to turn pages of books. So if I ask you, how many of you are still reading books? I don't think any of you really read books. Some of you don't bother to read books.
Okay, Colossians 3, verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Lie not one to another. You see what I'm saying just now? As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, 8, when we come and partake of this bread, you know, you approach it with sincerity and truth. Truth one side, sincerity the other side. If you say, you have Christ in you, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If He is the truth that leads you to eternal life, if He is the truth represent anything, then you that are in Him should be truthful. There's no way you approach it with sincerity. Okay? But if you lie, what happened? Lying, you know the Bible says, liars shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's just as bad. It's not homosexual shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Even liars shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So what is a liar? There was one time when a friend of mine argued with me over the issue of murderer. He said, the Bible said murderer have their share in hellfire. So to him, when the person commit the murderer, that's it. No hope for him. Because he asked me, how many times does it take a person to murder someone to be called a murderer? You know the question? When you call someone a murderer, how many times must he kill before he's called a murderer? Of course, one time, right? Huh? So he said, now boy, you see, he has no hope. So I said, brother, the Bible said liars cannot inherit the kingdom of God. How many times have you lied? So you have no hope. You understand what I'm saying? You see how people take the scripture and then try to define something that is not there. There's so many issues, you know, that has been raised up. The thing is that don't read into the Bible when there's the Bible didn't say anything about it. Huh? And when the Bible says something about it, don't take it out of context. Well, we have too many preachers in the world, people who think that they are called to preach and they come up with all that. And I really hate that stuff. Putting words into the mouth of God or into the scriptures, you add into it, God is going to add the plea into your life. That's not why I tremble before the Lord. When the Bible says, come out upon my people, be separate, touch not the unclean things. And you still want to touch all the traditional things in the churches out there? I wouldn't want to. And if I talk to this to my friend who is a Presbyterian, who thinks, oh, you brilliant, so you're the one that you think that you'll make the rapture, the rest don't make the rapture. I said, I didn't say that. I'm telling you what the Bible said. And you can interpret it the way you like it. But the Bible said, come out of her and touch not the unclean thing. What does it mean? What does it mean? You want to hold on to doctrines that are man-made and stuff like that? I tremble. Don't you know what? When I came into the message, I took away all that theological book out. Because I thought my mind would be influenced by the teachings. Huh? And you know today, the charismatic churches are full of all kinds of teaching. What is it leading the people? That's iniquity. And this preacher will stand before God and be judged for their iniquity. And God was, and Christ was said to them, depart from me, I know you not, you workers of iniquity. And great preacher in the charismatic movement said, Lord, what do you mean you don't know me? You know my public, my church is 20,000 and worldwide out there maybe 1 million. But you have committed iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity is unequal. You preach all that false doctrine out there and people believe in you and they follow you not knowing that they are deceived. You put them in a situation. You lie to them so that they are in a situation that do not know the truth and they believe you. Didn't Abraham did that to Sarah? Tell the Pharaoh, I'm your brother, in case you kill me. So this is a wife. What would she do? If Pharaoh married her, what happened? Huh? She would have two husbands. Do you understand what I'm saying this? It's not right. Abraham did it one time, two times. And then iniquities, the spirit is going to pass down to his son Isaac. From Isaac passed on to Jacob. And God allowed it to be recorded to show us the foolishness so that we not do the same thing. Do you understand it? Huh? God allowed mistake to be made to show us. And that's why we have this book. That's why we're telling the preacher. Proverbs said, one time, two times, three times. I said, that's all mystics. He said, cannot be mystic. Because if one time he said it, second time, third time he said it, it must be so. I said, take it, how do you hear what you hear? Huh? The brother might take hold of brother man and build a picture or build a doctrine. Not on the word. The anti-Branham one is taking, finding fault with the mystic of brother Branham and condemning him as false. I'll take the center line. Huh? Because the Bible says, take how you hear. Jesus said that. Take you how you hear. Remember how he told the children, how he told his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. The first thing they are talking about. Leaven of the Pharisees? Because you didn't bring any bread. You know, Jesus never explained. A lot of times the Jesus are demon bothered to explain. Destroyed his temple in 3 days and raised it up. The people say, you're crazy. Did he explain? Did he really explain? No, why? Until the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, the children, the those disciples even scratching their head. It's always only after Pentecost they realized he was talking about his body. That's what Jesus said. There are things I want to tell you, I cannot tell you now because you will not be able to understand. But when the Holy Spirit is come, he'll lead you and guide you into all truth. And that's what Brother Bram said. The Holy Spirit is given to what? Huh? To guide us. Without the Holy Ghost, as Bob said, because the Holy Ghost, you cannot understand the Bible. Even someone teach you, you still will not understand. Are you telling me, Brother Gunn, I don't have the Holy Ghost? I said, I'm not saying that. You say, you're Holy Ghost, and what the Bible says, you should know. Why is it so difficult to understand? Or is it because you are crowded, your mind is crowded with the denominational spirit? Or your own opinion? Oh my, so scary. In the day of Paul, there's probably this kind of false prophets around. Huh? So, when we talk about leaven now, the baking is to restrain your leavening, well, to keep you from exploding into committing sin. You know what I mean? The Holy Spirit comes down to guide you and put you into the baking. So he controls, all right, suppress, restrain your own nature from bursting out and loving yourself over again. Put away your own leaven. The Holy Spirit is to come upon you to guide you into all truth and lead the life that should be lived as the love of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? So that is not why the old man, as Paul said, I die every day. The old man must be put to death. Some of you probably watch vampire movies. Yeah? Some vampires don't die easily. Especially modern day vampire. Or ancient vampire by Bram Stoker, the one true story, the original, vampire story. I used to read horror story when I was young. Hold on, I've got a few hundred books, and it's already sort of when I come into this truth, more important to for me, it is true than to read all those horror. Huh? Bram Stoker, you know, he wrote the Dracula story, you know, the stick, vampire dies. But to that stick, but stick can come out, like maybe I don't know how many sticks, and cut off the head, whatever. There are all kinds now. With the people, the word, the writer has become very weird. Yeah. So, what then kills the old man here? How do you put the old man to death? Yeah, Brother Daniel, I put him to death last year, and he came up again. Wow. How come he comes up again? You see, the thing, one of the things to keep the old man down is to always have the silver bullet. And what is the silver bullet? It's the word of God. Remember, the silver is the word of God representing the Bible. We need to have that silver bullet, the silver word of God, always in our life. We have to read, eat it, and let the word of God be a covering upon us. Then we become stronger. Now, I remember this. I'm telling you, this is true. If I'm not married, if I was not married, the time when I was, when we went to America for the convention, and we came back and we were in Hawaii. So I and Zoe were just kids. One year old and 4 year old. You know. So we landed and they were tired. They go to the hotel and Trudy was tired, so they all slept. And the time was only 8 p.m. So what do? I go out of the hotel, take a walk around Waikiki. Oh, those times was bad. And I was in my 30s. You know, every time I go walk down the street, a young girl will come up. You want a date? You want a date? You know, please go to walk the streets. You know, if it wasn't the word of God, if I was just someone who's not a Christian, walking out there, or even as a Christian who is not indulged in the word of God, is I would become very easily influenced by the wooing of beautiful young girls. Do you understand what I'm saying? Here came up to me one behind. You want a date? I said, no. And I walked. It came closer. Don't you have $20? I said, I have. But I'm keeping. And you know, the whole night when I'm walking down Waikiki to see, you know, there's a shopping area, there's a lot of tourists there. The whole lot of this hustle, you know. Walking around, even one incident, there was a man went into the pharmacies and this girl was following him, hustling him into the pharmacy until the man yelled at her. Don't you know I don't want it? And people shocked. And I walked back to the hotel. As I walked back to the hotel, another guy came up to me. I said, no. As I turned and walked back, I heard footsteps running, and it was a young man chasing after her to grab her. You see, we live in a world of vices. And if we are not strong enough, we don't keep our life surrounded by the silver word of God, the unleavened word of God to strengthen us, we can like and be destroyed easily. With what's on the internet? Huh? It's everywhere. Sometimes you go to a site, pop up girls, advertisement to try to draw you. Pornography. Sometimes they ask you to want to sell you Viagra. When you do a research on something that is right, and it happens to be that you talk about health, it sells you Viagra too. So the world here on the internet is dangerous. Young people are caught up in it. And now in Singapore we have many of these prison immoral cases on in the news. See. So put off the old man. So put out your old man. Put off your old man or kill him. Paul said, I die every day. Let this old man die. Okay? Alright. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the only way that we can have ourselves into this unleavened bread is because of what Christ done for us. He offered himself as a sin offering. As a sin offering must be offered to God. From the first day when Eve and Adam committed the sin, God slain innocent lamb. From that time on, when the children born to Adam, he taught them how to offer sin offering, and even burnt offering, and even peace offering. Because these are sweet smelling savour to God. So, if it wasn't for what Christ did, we'll still be dead in our sin. Grace took over. Right? Without grace, you won't be here. I won't be here today as well. 1 Corinthians 15:20. These are verses that we want to round up concerning the importance of what God did on the day of Pentecost when He gave us the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So Christ is risen from the dead. He's the first fruit from them that slept, that died. I like the word sleep. Because we don't die, as I said. One beautiful thing how God uses it, that we are not dead, we sleep. When the Bible you said that death is always mean a separation from God. So when we die, we are not dead. So the Bible said we slept. We are sleeping. Okay? Because we are not separated from God. We are just only sleeping and we wake up in the morning. Alright. James 1, so the first fruit is unto the Lord is identified with the wave offering. Okay? So we deal with this. Let's say the first, or James 1:18. James 1:18. For of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creature. Of his own will begat he us. That's what God did for us. The Father of lights. Of his own will begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of a first fruit of his creature. Because Christ is the first fruit. Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknown, he also predestinated, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we are the Lord that has mixed with leaven that are predestinated by the Lord. We didn't choose God. We didn't choose Christ. He has chosen us. Hebrews chapter 2:11. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which God he is not ashamed to be called them brethren. We are all one. One of a kind. As Bob used to say, if Christ is the Messiah, we are Messiah. Right? Sure. If Christ is the Son of God, we must be sons and daughters of God. Because we are all of the same. We are all of one. He who sanctified and they who are sanctified, they are of one. Now, when we look into all this, the feast of Jehovah, and the fulfillment of it, and with all that the scripture talks about, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, a space of thousands of years. And yet, the whole thing makes sense in what we read, to understand that this is the only religion in the world, if you want to call it religion, or it will really go something that binds us back. It's the only true religion that makes sense. Huh? It's not about a man under the Buddha tree, or be it a coconut tree, or whatever, meditate himself and say, oh, I reached Nirvana, or that I have reached some, well, space up there in heaven to be nothing. Then it doesn't make any sense. Or with the many, many gods, gods that look like an elephant or a cow or a snake or one with many, many hands, and even goddesses, and even god that make love with other goddesses, all traced by the ancient time, as you can see in Greece, the Grecian Empire, back to Babylonian Empire. Insect, like a beetle, a scarab, it's also god. A fox is also god. A jackal is also god. The mountain is god. The tree is god. The river is god. And even the Nile River has a lot of gods. But actually there's a lot of crocodiles. But people make all these gods. What does the Bible say? They worship the creature other than the creator. So if the Bible tells us anything, this is the treasure book that you hold for your life. Huh? Now, one brother who's no longer with us for many years now, he talked to me and we spent time together, but unfortunately there were some circumstances in the family. He told me this, he said, brother again, about religion in the world, if you get anybody to talk, to sit together and talk, it's the one religion that can make sense and we can talk about and have, make some sense of it is the Bible. Huh? Only in Christianity we can talk something that is rational. Because why? The scriptures, they are the oracles that came from God. Huh? Not from man. That's a beautiful and a wonder of what the Bible shows us. You know, prophecy and things that was years and years ago, it came to pass. You know, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. To the general assembly, it means the all assembly, and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God the judge of all, and to the saint of judgment make perfect. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn. It's always the firstborn, the first fruit. There's one that is a general assembly, there's one that is the firstborn. And one is the spiritual man make perfect. So if you want to, we ought to be able to be, if your desire is there, you want to be part of the first fruit. The crop that will be taken out. Alright? Okay. And let us continue with these few other verses where we want to look at the two loaves. Tell you once again, Ephesians chapter 2. Right? It's always two loaves. Even in the first, in the feast of the first fruit, there are two loaves that is mingled with oil. Huh? And here we have Pentecost, we have two loaves mixed with leaven. Huh? Two is always a number that represents a testimony, a witness, a confirmation. The bride
and the bridegroom. The sanctifier and those are sanctified. You understand? But they came from the same thing. You will see that. The Old Testament and New. You don't separate them. But you see, the Jew don't believe in the New Testament. That's why when you don't believe in the New Testament, you only have one part. You got it? When Christ fulfilled it, that's why we have the New Testament as a confirmation to the whole thing. See? Christ, when he was on the cross, he lifted up his hand like this. There is the left, there is the right. Huh? He looked up into heaven. The verticals and the horizontal. There's always the weakness, too. The Bible said, don't go to the left, neither to the right. Pick the center. When you take the center, you have the right on one hand, one side, and the left on the other side. Confirmation that you're walking between the two. And so when you're in a crossing the Red Sea, the water is on the left, the water is on the right. You don't want the water, you walk into the dry land and cross. Two is always a testament is that you cannot run away. You see? Huh? And what did Ron look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14? For he is our peace, who have made both one, and have written down. And have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Ephesians 2:14. For he is our peace. Now all these points, right? Paul wrote this book to the Ephesians. Not to the Jew. But in the Ephesians church, they are of course Jewish people. Huh? So Paul is now having, you see the thing is that Paul is such a great mystery. I mean, revelation on the mysteries of God. Our son and brother, come to understand. You know, Peter was a big fisherman, big guy. But he was making a lot of mistakes too. You know, the thing the Bible writes, don't write too many mistakes of a lot of people. Just write enough. Huh? Even King David. I think that one mistake he made is terrible. I mean, you know, everybody's reading about him in the newspaper. How he fell in love with Bathsheba. Huh? Because he was walking on the castle wall and then overlooked, you know, because his city is on a hilltop, Mount Zion. And overlooking the village, below. And he saw one night when he was walking, took his evening walk and always looking over there. He saw the woman bathing naked, man, showering himself, cleaning himself, herself. Oh, she's beautiful. You know what I'm saying? Poor King David was trapped. He was falling in, not in love, but lust. Actually, I would say, he loved her. But the Bible says, if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you commit what? Adultery in your heart, yes. He lost after her, and he knows that this woman belongs to Uriah, one of his generals, the top general in his army. So, I like her so much. I got to have her. Obviously, isn't it? The thing going through his mind, going play with his mind, he cannot sleep. You know, a lot of people are just like that, the problem with us. Sometimes we're about our examination coming, we cannot sleep. Our job interview tomorrow, we cannot sleep. Huh? Our problem in the company tomorrow, we cannot sleep. We've got all kinds of things going through our head. And when King David looked upon her, I tell you, he could not sleep. I don't know how many days. And finally he sent his other son, Uriah, out into the battlefront. The thickest of battle, knowing that he would be killed. He will never return home 99.9999%. So of course when Uriah passed, what can he do? He can do anything, a lot of things. Huh? Now he has the right to take her as wife. But he was a man who knows when he commit sin. Prophet Nathan. Was it Nathan? Right. Prophet Nathan came to him and tell him a story. Eh? You know, I like the story. Then he asked him,
Well, how you judge? How I judge? The man who have taken this poor man's one little lamb should be put to death. You know, say, you're right, you're the man. Goodness, may I tell you. Then he woke up. My goodness, I tell you, that night he could not sleep. And God took away his firstborn. He cried, he wept and he cried for days. He could not sleep. But God opened up his eyes. Then he realized, my son cannot come back to me, but I can go to him. You see, that's what we humans are. We need to realize. So here we have that Paul is writing. We are all both one. Whether you be Jew or you be Gentile, whether you are rich or you are poor, whatever you are, we are all one. There is no such thing as two gospels. It's not a hard time trying to tell a brother. There's a foreign man so much that there are two gospels. And it doesn't even make sense to believe in two gospels. One gospel for the Jew, one gospel for the Gentiles. And I say, he said, oh, there's a 13th foundation. What? My Bible, where do you get 13th foundation? Anybody read any verse in the Bible, the 13th foundation? I said, what is it? It's in the center of the Holy City. Center of the Holy City? Wow. Where is that? No scripture, where is that? But then in the days when I was back in the 70s, came two men from New Zealand and they were a beard. He said, brother, you need to have a beard. He says, why? I must have a beard. He says, what did the Bible say? You know, old time, if you know that Moses, Peter, and all this have beard. I said, how do you know? You know? I said, what did the Bible say that? Oh, it's a revelation. I said, yeah, it's a revelation, all right. Huh? Then if I were to keep a beard, you know, for me, Chinese man to keep a beard is more like a, you know, how many Chinese look at this beard? Like a billy goat. Then I say, you people should be having some kind of beard. You know how big eye, especially you go to the Middle Eastern, huh? If you look, you know, look at, they all look like the Taliban. You know, I don't like those beards, they look terrible. You know, and I don't believe that Jesus had glorious kind of beard. Yeah, we know that we have beard, but notice that doesn't mean that you need to keep beard. You see? But whether you want to keep beard or not, nobody stops you. It's only that you need to make sure that you keep yourself, you know, what you call clean, not unkempt. Especially in India, I went a lot of, because of the poor, they're very unkempt. They don't even want to tidy it, and it's so terrible unkempt. See. All right, let's go to the next verse. Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Christ Jesus unto all, and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. Whether you be Jew, whether you be Gentile, whether you are circumcised or not. Huh? Okay. Romans 10:12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Right? 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be born or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. One gospel. One Lord. One Savior. One Father. Right? Not two? So, we have a lot of people that come up with strange revelation, and they are just confusing a lot of people. I'm going to close the next few verses. Let's go to the book of Acts. Again, to Acts chapter 5. Verse 1 there. Remember we read earlier about speaking the truth in love, and about not lying. Huh? Okay, here what happened in the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, saw the procession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why have Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Why it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why has you conceived this thing in your heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. You see, that is where the problem is. You see, the Bible taught us when we come to the Lord, we give a tithe and offering. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. I think it is Deuteronomy. Just go in, bear with me, to go there first. Deuteronomy, I think it's chapter 16. Chapter 16 of Deuteronomy, 16, verse 10 and 11. And thou shalt keep the feast of weeks. It's Pentecost. Okay? Remember, feast of weeks is called Pentecost. Huh? After some seven, the following day is the 50th. So they call it the feast of week unto the Lord thy God with the tribute of a free will offering of thy hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God, according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son and thy daughters, thy manservant and thy maidservant, and the Levite that is within thy gates, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are among you, in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there. Okay. Now the children of Israel were told to give a tenth. I mean, they're not told to give, but they are told to pay. Huh? Because this goes to the Levite, because they don't have inheritance. So, a tithe is taxed. Like you pay tax. You cannot tell the government, I'm giving you my tax. They say, what do you mean, give me my tax? No, you are taxed because you are part of the city of Singapore. There's so much you earn, so much you have to tax, because you have to support the whole government system of Singapore. You understand? So do you know why you pay tax on? You know the road you walk? Who keep that? You understand? The water, who clean the water? Of course, I know you pay for the water too. All these are part hidden expenses. Huh? The air you breathe is free one. Or free. If the government don't control this car for pollution, vehicle pollution, what are you breathing? You want to go to China, I see some of the China area, the city are so bad that you can't breathe. They have to buy oxygen, remember? There are even vending shop machine, huh? That you go pay $1 and breathe there for maybe like 5 minutes. You see, you pay. So, God told the children of Israel, you give a tenth part. But now he said in chapter 16, what he says? A free will offering also. Now you give, and I say here, give a free will offering. Now, when we as Christians we come, it's not about us paying tithes. We don't pay tithes, we give tithes. Like Abraham, he was the one who initiated, I told you many times, he was the one who initiated. And you know what, when he went to the battle, he won the battle, and all the spoils are there. It's his. But he took one tenth and offered to God. Well, God is stingy, right? Yeah? Of all that God had given, he gave back only God 10%. As I said, we are all very fortunate. Otherwise, if I must say give 50%, we all have to give 50%. But he only gave 10%, and that was his giving. But to the children of Israel, it's different because of the Lord that gave. That you are a paid temper. But on this particular Pentecostal day, God says, give a free will offering. For who? For the poor, for all your people around there that can rejoice. Because I have blessed you. But see, on the day of Pentecost in that day, Ananias and Sapphira, They sold the property and all this, right? They got no money. It's theirs. But they put it aside and give it to the apostle and said, this is all there. And Peter said, why do you lie to the Holy Spirit? Is it not all yours to do as you want to? Why do you lie to the Holy Spirit that this is all my free will offering? Huh? You see, here in our fellowship, or in any truth church, Christians do not pay tithes. But in denomination, organized religion, they give you an envelope. You put your money in there, write your name. Because you register yourself as a member of the church. And the deacons, they're all looking after it, see whether who, when they collect their offering every day, every Sunday, they want to see who do not give. Huh? How do I know? Because I was in exhibit, so go one time. When I back sleep, you know, and back time, I couldn't afford to give. And they came up to me. They know I didn't give because there's no envelope. I didn't give anything. But here we don't have. We don't have any envelope. It's just a box here for you to give it. Whether you give or not, I don't know. Only God knows. Because that's why Peter said, you did not lie to me. You did not lie to me. You lied to the Holy Spirit. Huh? I may not know when you lied to me. If you come and tell me things that are untrue, how do I know? Only you know whether you're lying, and God knows whether you're lying. But my Bible tells me, be sure your sin will find you out. Pentecost is a day that's supposed to be a joy and thanksgiving. And Ananias was not behaving right. And the Holy Spirit struck him dead. And one of the sad things about giving is that many times, you know, many of us give grudgingly. And as the Bible said, the poor can find, to enter the kingdom of God is easy. But for the rich, they find it very hard. Because why? It's all about the money they have. When it comes to giving, the poor and the one who is not very rich are the ones that give more. The one that has a lot of money are the ones that find it hard to give. And that is very, very true. You know. So what did God tell Israel? When you harvest the field, don't go and harvest all the corners. Huh? Don't go and take all the crop from the corner of the field. Let it for the poor. But when it comes to Pentecost, when you give a free will offering, it's to God. Everybody, other people who do not have, then they may have a share. And that's why God raised this fellowship up. Because when you give, you're not giving it to me, you're giving it to the ministry. There are other people who don't have. That is why, because of the new system or the postage system, we cannot send the books that we want to. Because it's been privatized to where the postage cost is so ridiculous. But now at least we can get the books printed in Africa, for the country of Africa. But I printed that there. And we send books from here to Kenya, because the steel system still there, works on that. But I'm telling the brother, get it from Brother Nice. The books from Brother Nice to Kenya. And I even send him, over once in a while, I send him some money for the postage. To help him in the postage. The church are doing that to spread to him. Yeah? The Philippine brother, Shankar is translating the book into Tamil and all this. In the Philippine, the brothers there are disseminating the book. Though, of course, over the years, they never did translate into anything in Tagalog. Wherever we can send, we send. And people are waking up to the truth. So the people may have a blessing. That's what Pentecost is all about. It's about blessing of giving. Galatians 5:9. Quickly. A little leaven leaven the whole lump. Of course, when you lie, you also leaven yourself. That's doctrine. So don't follow anything about doctrine. A little errors in the doctrine, maybe opinion is not scripture, you leaven the rest of the continuity of the scripture. You know that, don't you? Huh? Now you all see the doctrine of the serpent seed? Now, when you understand the doctrine of the serpent seed, you understand the cause of the problem we have. Huh? Yes. Alright, 1 Corinthians 5. And this is about moral issue now. So he's talking about when the Holy Ghost has come upon us, what is going to happen to us? 1 Corinthians 5, 9, and chapter 5, verse 9. I wrote unto you in all epistle not to company with fornicator. Alright, then we have verse 13. But them that are without God judge, therefore put away from among yourself that wicked person. So anything that is going to corrupt a church, anything, you know, that need to be dealt with, that is corrupting church, need to be put away. I don't put you away just because you tell lies once. You understand? But you continue to lie and lie and lie and lie, and then you the sin found you out, what do you think I'm going to do to you? You see the thing? Okay? So this needs to be done. Alright. Now we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 1. Here we are on this issue about Pentecost and our life when the Holy Spirit comes upon us because we are a low weight before the Lord. Chapter 16 verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. And that is that, remember to give what belongs to God. Okay, don't be like Ananias. Alright. Two more verses. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips being giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Yeah, sacrifice of praise continually from our lips with praise the Lord, a testimony. Whenever God gives the opportunity to testify to a friend or colleague, do so. Okay? First Chronicles in the Old Testament, after the kings. First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14. But who am I? And what is my people? That we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort. For all things come of you, and of thy own have we given thee. Simple understanding here? Huh? No. I could say that what this writer is saying here. Who am I? And what is my people here? Huh? That we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort, free will offer, whatever we can give to God. For all things come of you, Lord. And when we give, they're giving in what you have given us back to you. And that is so true. Pentecost is the day when God pour out his Holy Spirit and give to the people the Spirit of life. And the people return to the Lord. Huh? Rejoice with the Lord. And give free will offering to him. But let us not be that Ananias and Sapphira. That's what Pentecost is all about. God giving you life. We, leaven loaf, for ordained before the foundation of the world to be a part and parcel of his family. And on the day of Pentecost, he came back to give us this life. So we need to be joyful. We need to give God a thanksgiving. And in thanksgiving, give him a free will offering. You understand that? That's what Pentecost is. Without Pentecost, we won't be here. Without Passover, there's no Pentecost. You understand? Passover. Then the rest. You receive the lamb. You eat of the lamb. You have a rest in Him. You eat the word, the unleavened bread. Because Christ is risen from the dead. And because He was risen from the dead. And that's why the angel said, what do you look up? What are you looking at? The one that you see, God will come back. And when He come back, what did Jesus say? I want to prepare a place for you that I come back. So that where I am, you shall be also. The first fruit, where the rest will also be waved before the Lord. To prove that to be true, He returned 50 days later and gave that life. So the unseen Christ, you can't see Him. As Paul said, we know Him no more in the flesh, but we see Jesus. Huh? We see Him, yes, but not the flesh, but we see Jesus. Do you see Him? It's in the Word. It's the Passover Lamb, the Sabbath, the first fruit, Pentecost. He's the Word. And that's how we see Him. God bless you. Heavenly Father, bless the holy name, Lord, for the word of truth. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for Pentecost. That truly, Lord, when we receive of the Spirit of life, you are doing a job in us. Arresting the leaven that is in us. Restraining it, O Lord. And help us to put the old man to death. Help us, Lord, to put him down. The Lord, our life from day to day be filled with the joy and the thanksgiving from our heart because of what you've done for us. And the Lord, we know we need to continue to eat of the unleavened bread. Without eating it, O Father, this journey is going to be tough and it's going to weaken us, Lord. We know the pressure of the world is come now. There are a lot of things that is happening. But we know, Lord, you will see us through. Because you are the author and the finisher of our faith. And if you have the chastise us, Lord, and pick us strong in the fire, we know you will do so. That we become purified and be perfect as Christ is perfect. And as the song that goes, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. Even as the song said, return that way, Father, and questioned. Now the answer be yes. Let our all be on the altar of sacrifice, Lord. Laid there and let it be offered up to you. And our heart, Lord, the Spirit do control. We pray, Father, today that you touch our lives. Keep us and guide us, O Father. Thank you for thy holy word. Thank you for thy blessing. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord. Amen.